Hey, everybody. The rule of law is on trial. Update with the Kyle Rittenhouse drama. Also, we're joined by the family's official spokesperson. I ask, why did Kyle take the stand? That's a very interesting conversation. You guys are going to enjoy it. Email us your thoughts, freedom@charliekirk.com. And we will see all of you at America Fest, December 18, 19, 2021. We have Tucker Carlson, Kayleigh McEnany, Donald Trump Jr., and more at tpusa.com/AMFEST. That's tpusa.com/AMFEST. Check it out. It's going to be a phenomenal event in Phoenix, Arizona, December 18, 19, 20, and 21. tpusa.com/AMFEST. If you want to support our show, you can do that at charliekirk.com/support. I want to thank all of you that got behind our program and support us. Linda from Pennsylvania, Rini from North Carolina, Karen from California, Pat from Virginia, Daniel from Kansas, Cynthia from Wyoming, Charles from New York, Amy from Florida, Virginia from Texas, Veronica from New Jersey, Aaron from North Carolina, Susan from Idaho, and Sally from Colorado, charliekirk.com/support. Thank you, thank you, thank you for supporting us and getting behind the work we are doing. Rule of law's on trial. Buckle up. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Hey, everybody. This episode is brought to you by my friends at ExpressVPN. ExpressVPN.com/Charlie. Secure your device, anonymize your online activity, protect your action online. ExpressVPN.com/Charlie. Help our show out by also helping yourself protect yourself. ExpressVPN.com/Charlie. Hello, everybody. Happy Veterans Day to everyone who has served across the country. We have many veterans on our team here on the Charlie Kirk Show, and we thank you and salute you on this Veterans Day. Unfortunately, our veterans are being treated horribly by the current regime. And, you know, I get asked questions all the time as we travel the country. Charlie, my son wants to serve in the military. Would you recommend that? And I say, quite honestly, I don't know. I don't know if I would trust the current president with serving in the United States military. And that's a sad thing to say. The current commander-in-chief cannot be trusted, but our veterans can. And so thank you for your wonderful service. So much to get to today. We're going to talk hopefully a little bit about that topic later this hour. Okay, so the Kyle Rittenhouse drama is continuing to unfold in Kenosha, Wisconsin. We are actually going to have the spokesperson for the Rittenhouse family here on the program, as we are going to talk about some of the details of the case. But what happened yesterday, you could watch court TV for 20 years and not have seen what happened yesterday. What happened yesterday was exceptional on a variety of different levels. And we made the argument yesterday that what was unfolding in the Rittenhouse drama was more than just the typical cross-examination and the unfolding of due process and the rule of law. To see a judge scold the prosecution like that, to see a witness take the stand in his own defense, and then see the activist drive-by media spring into concern as they have not cared about this case at all the last couple weeks. It's been page 942,000 of the New York Times. It's all of a sudden being the number one news story in the country. And we were covering the Rittenhouse drama plenty. Front page of the New York Times. They're finally caring about Kyle Rittenhouse. They got their mascot. They have the young, white, AR-15-wielding male who wore fatigues and is prowling the streets to go kill people. And to take a step back from what we've seen in Kenosha with the three different types of people we are kind of three different types of characters involved. You have Kyle Rittenhouse, the young, white, muscular class, middle class member who was in the volunteer firefighter force, who was a lifeguard, who was just trying to find his place in life. A very typical Northern Illinois, Southern Wisconsin high schooler. I grew up with kids like him. I know exactly the type of upbringing that he was around. I know the type of worldview he has. Nothing radical, insurrectionist in Kyle Rittenhouse. There is zero evidence of that whatsoever. And remember, Joe Biden, from his Twitter account, called him a white supremacist. Then you have the prosecution, which is the self-loathing, self-hating, college-educated, as Tucker Carlson beautifully put it, typical NPR pledge donor prosecution. And then you have the judge who was appointed by a Democrat who actually still loves the Constitution. The judge who was appointed by a Democrat who scolded and admonished the prosecution yesterday for being out of line. And what you saw yesterday is more than just the specifics and the details of the Rittenhouse case. And we'll go through those again, but it's a rather simple case. It's that self-defense is a human right. Self-defense is a right, not a privilege. That Kyle Rittenhouse, while he was on his back, decided in defense of his own life to then use the AR-15 against other deadly force. And what's been interesting to see in the last couple of days is how the media has covered this. And in fact, some people thought that Kyle Rittenhouse was hunting others in the streets and was going after conflict, where the video clearly shows that Kyle Rittenhouse was the one that was hunted. We've said this all along, but the prosecution and the activist drive-by media has been happy to be a co-partner in the smear and the sabotage and the character assassination campaign against an innocent young man, Kyle Rittenhouse. So Kyle Rittenhouse took the stand in his own defense. And at first I thought that was a mistake and I questioned the wisdom. I'm still not sure it was a great decision, but I can see some of the benefit from it. It humanized Kyle Rittenhouse. It showed that Kyle Rittenhouse is not some sort of militia sympathizing character. Not that there's anything necessarily wrong with, you know, peaceful militias. I'm just saying that he's some sort of whatever type of archetype the cable drive-bys want to think, that he's the type of person that everything needs to be designed against. And so right on schedule, Joy Reid last night decided to go all in and continue the smear and to continue the slander of an innocent young man, Kyle Rittenhouse. And Joy Reid is a race baiter. She is Al Sharpton, but actually not as gifted, because Al Sharpton used to extort millions of dollars from companies and never paid his taxes, of course. And so Joy Reid comes out, and she is now, she's an MSNBC host. No one watches her show. We just get the clips because it's for entertainment purposes. But also, people in the smart community think Joy Reid is worthy of coming on her show. She comes out and she says, cut 87, the Rittenhouse trial is white privilege on steroids, describing Rittenhouse's emotional breakdown as the greatest performance of his life. So Joy Reid accuses Kyle Rittenhouse of being a play actor while he breaks down with classic, let's say, symptoms of post-traumatic stress disorder. You see, everyone listening right now across the country on radio and live stream, you hear that? If your child, who happens to be white, or grandchild, ever gets involved in self-defense, they're going to have to be slandered by Joy Reid as being a play actor. Play cut 87.
Joy, today the jurors saw what must be the greatest performance of Kyle Rittenhouse's life. He was well prepared by his defense attorneys to disrupt his image as a trigger-happy vigilante who went on a shooting rampage. This is white privilege on steroids.
So that was Paul Butler. That was not Joy Reid on the show that said that. And trigger happy vigilante, nothing in the case even gets close to that. And by the way, he's a former federal prosecutor. People like him used to be in charge of putting people in jail. Chris Hayes on MSNBC says, do we want a society in which political conflict is settled on the streets between people with guns? One in which everyone is armed and can therefore view the other person as a plausible threat. Let's just take a timeout. Why was this a problem? It was a problem because the police were not doing their job and because the National Guard was not deployed by Governor Evers, all under the series of Floydapalooza, where Jacob Blake was killed. And I don't think Jacob Blake was killed. He was just shot, right? He was paralyzed. Is that right? Shot in Kenosha. Therefore, we say, well, we got to let him destroy. We got to let him get it out of their system. Play cut 84.
If you're watching this and you're a gun owner or someone who considers yourself a defender of the Second Amendment, abstractly, right? Ask yourself, do we want a society in which political conflict is settled on the streets between people with guns? One in which everyone is armed and can therefore view the other people armed as a plausible threat?
And that's not even what close to the, this is not even close to what that's about. Instead, it's a simple case of self-defense. But the media wants it so badly, Kyle Rittenhouse, to be guilty because all they have is the narrative. All they have is the narrative is that white people are walking in the streets trying to murder black people. Are you worried about America's future? Times of trouble are full of reasons to despair. But those who built and have preserved our country did not despair. And if we are going to do our part, we need to draw on the books, the history, and the ideas that gave our forefathers and mothers strength and inspiration. Hillsdale College, the beacon of the North, the last college, was founded in 1844 to teach all of these things, and it teaches them still today. The great news is that we can study all these things, along with Hillsdale College professors, right in our homes. I take the Hillsdale online courses, and in fact, I'm going to go to Hillsdale right now, to charlieforhillsdale.com. I'm going to show you directly how I'm doing with my online courses. And I'm going to tell you what courses I have finished, and you guys can do it alongside me. Boom, finish Introduction to Western Philosophy. Boom, finish Western Heritage. Boom, finish Intro to the Constitution. Boom, finish Constitution 101. Finish Winston Churchill and Statesmanship. I am starting and working my way through a proper understanding of K through 12 education in theory and practice. The Great American Story, A Land of Hope. That is a big lift, everybody. I encourage you to do it. Introduction to C.S. Lewis, Writings and Significance, The Presidency and the Constitution, The Genesis Story, Reading Biblical Narratives, and Civil Rights and American History. I'm working my way through all of them, but things that matter take work. And through Hillsdale's free online courses, we can study the history of our civilization, the wisdom of our ancient and Christian philosophers, the writings of Shakespeare and Mark Twain. We can reacquaint ourselves with our Constitution, and we can learn how the Constitution has been undermined, and more importantly, how it can be recovered. My friends, as we fight in the defense of family, faith, and freedom, let us draw on the best of the past with Hillsdale's guidance to save the greatest nation on earth. Begin learning today at charlieforhillsdale.com. That's charlieforhillsdale.com. Check it out today. Enroll for free. Just put your email, charlieforhillsdale.com. So how will the jury rule? Well, let's take a step back. What if someone was threatening violence because of a verdict they don't like? We went into great detail during the Floyd trial on how many activists, including Maxine Waters, who's an activist who calls herself a congresswoman, said that they are going to take it to the streets if they don't get a ruling or a judgment that is satisfactory to them. Now, we're seeing this in many different manifestations. The new America we live in, and you're not even allowed to mention, you're not even allowed to question this, is Black Lives Matter leader Hank Newsom, in regards to new policing measures in New York, says there will be riots, fire, and bloodshed if Mayor-elect Eric Adams follows through with his promise to bring black, plainclothes, anti-crime cops to battle New York surge in violent crime. You hear that? So Hank Newsom says that if we, in New York, if they put police back on the streets to try to lower crime, he is threatening the entire civilization. He says, quote, if they think they're going to go back to the old ways of policing, then we're going to take the streets again. New York BLM co-founder Hank Newsom said. Now, Eric Adams is going to be the next mayor of New York City, and he's going to have this issue on his hands. In addition, George Floyd's nephew threatens the jurors in the Kyle Rittenhouse case. Where's the Department of Justice? Where is anyone saying, hey, you know what's illegal to film jurors and their identities? We played this yesterday, but it's such an extraordinary clip. Play cut 32. George Floyd's nephew threatens jurors in the Kyle Rittenhouse case. Play cut 32.
I ain't even going to name the people that I know that's up in the Kenosha trial. But there's cameras in there. Yep. It's definitely cameras up in there, and there's definitely people taking pictures of the juries and everything like that. We know what's going on. So we need the same results, man. We need the same results. Justice for Dante Wright. Justice for Austin.
We need the same results. And he says, we know who the jurors are. We got plenty of cameras in there. Has the Floyd's nephew been arrested by the FBI for his threat? You are not allowed to intimidate juries. That is a sacred, untouchable violation. All of a sudden, we are now in a system where you're allowed to say we are going to name the names of the jurors. We have pictures and videos of them. We're going to out them. We've already had the manipulation of jurors for some time. Roger Stone, when he was indicted, went through a completely fraudulent process of jurors that were posting social media articles against Donald Trump. Not to mention one of the jurors in the George Floyd case actually went to a George Floyd rally and then talked about it afterwards. That whole trial should have been thrown out, but it's because of the public pressure of the racial reckoning that we've been living through. Now understand, Kyle Rittenhouse's trial is a threat to the extent of how the justice system plays itself out. Kyle Rittenhouse defended himself, but this was during this BLM moment. And if he's going to get acquitted, which he should be, he should walk free of any charges whatsoever. All of a sudden, that goes to show that the justice system is not the same thing as an MSNBC panel. That the justice system has process, prudence, it requires evidence, cross-examination of witnesses, and a juror of your peers. It's not an MSNBC panel where you get five apparatchiks that agree with everything you say when only 10 people are watching and say, you know, yeah, I agree, put him in prison, put him in prison. A democracy is an up or down vote whether or not your natural rights should be preserved and protected. We have a republic. It's slow, it's intentional, and self-defense is a right that has been upheld in the courts time and time again, that when you are faced with lethal force, you should be able to defend yourself. And the only reason that this trial continues to have oxygen is because of the tribalistic facts and circumstances, the identity politics around it. It's the only reason. The only reason why this trial was not thrown out from the beginning is because the talking heads and the New York Times people want this to be true. New York Times writes, Kyle Rittenhouse sobbed and gulped for air on the witness stand as he was asked to describe the moments before he shot three men in the aftermath of the demonstrations in Kenosha. If you just read the New York Times, you would think that Kyle Rittenhouse was praying the streets looking for people to kill, when it's the opposite. But a member of the media actually admits she had the facts all wrong. Yeah, that's what happens when you watch CNN, MSNBC, and read the New York Times and not even look at the own footage. If you're looking for ways to skip the trip to the post office and dodge all the hectic holiday shopping traffic, why not save time and money from Stamps.com? Stamps.com lets you compare rates, print labels, and access exclusive discounts on UPS and USPS services all day long. Charlie Kirk here. I could tell you our team at the Charlie Kirk Show and at Turning Point USA, we proudly use Stamps.com every single day. Going to the post office instead of using Stamps.com is like taking the stairs instead of using the elevator. You'll spend so much time and money, and you'll wonder why you didn't start sooner. Save time and money this holiday season with Stamps.com. Use what Turning Point USA uses and use what we use on our show. Use the promo code CHARLIE for a special offer that includes a 4-week trial, free postage, and a digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. Just go to Stamps.com, click on the microphone at the top of the homepage, and enter code CHARLIE. That's Stamps.com. Click on the microphone at the top of the page. Enter code CHARLIE. Stamps.com. Promo code CHARLIE. Never go to the post office again. I want to play this cut here of Anna Kasparian. She's been super nasty to me throughout the years, and I'm not going to compliment her. Some people are, oh, kudos to her, and it's not about that. What's about what this clip is most interesting, though. She's a leftist. She's a Young Turk person, whatever. The reason why this clip is interesting, though, is that she admits that she was participating in the simulation when it came to court proceedings, meaning that she thought she knew all the facts and circumstances around the Kyle Rittenhouse drama, and she says, oh, actually, I had it wrong. Now, why this is important is that half the country is believing this around vaccines, around masks, around lockdowns, around hydroxychloroquine, ivermectin, azithromycin, around vaccinating children, all these sorts of things. That Anna Kasparian, in a rare moment of honesty, speaks out and says, no, actually, I had this all wrong. So let's go to cut 99, where she says out loud, far left winger, the facts and circumstances around Kyle Rittenhouse, people have been lying. Play cut 99.
So look, these details matter because if you're going to make an argument that you acted in self-defense, there needs to be some proof that there was an imminent threat. Now, what really mattered to me was how all of this unfolded. What was the thing that sparked it? What started all of it? And initially, I was under the assumption that Rittenhouse was the person who was chasing after Joseph Rosenbaum, that's how it had started. But I was wrong about that. Okay, so I want to correct the record. I was, in fact, wrong about that.
You were wrong because everyone on television has been intentionally wrong, trying to slander an innocent young man, Kyle Rittenhouse, because it feels good to support the narrative that young white men are carrying AR-15s in Kenosha trying to hunt people down. And that was not true. But I do give her credit for correcting it. I wish more people did that. Unlike Joy Reid and Chris Hayes, who doubled down on the fake and false narrative. One more clip here, and then I want to bring in Dave Hancock, who is the Rittenhouse family spokesperson. I want to play Jonathan Turley, cut 85, on how the prosecution is acting like the Titanic sinking and how the prosecution witnesses turned on them to benefit Rittenhouse. Play cut 85.
Well, the prosecution couldn't have had a more disastrous day yesterday. And this has a feeling of feverishly moving the furniture on the deck of the Titanic, because this ship seems really to be sinking by the hour. Really, the prosecution stumbled right out of the gate. It's called key witnesses that turned on the prosecution and gave what was very beneficial testimony in favor of Rittenhouse.
Prosecution is falling apart. This was a sham trial from the beginning. Let's welcome to the show Dave Hancock, spokesperson for the Kyle Rittenhouse family. And if you guys want to support Kyle Rittenhouse as his family is going into debt to defend themselves, we have made a contribution. You guys can go to freekyleusa.com or freekyle.org. Is that right?
freekyleusa.org.
Okay.
And .com. Yes, both of them.
All right. Okay. FreeKyleUSA.org. Dave, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
It's been an eventful couple days. I know that you're tasked with speaking for the family. That's a lot of pressure. Don't worry. The show won't be CNN or MSNBC. How does the family think things are going?
They're confident. Things are going well. They're staying positive. I think people are really happy to see that the truth, the actual truth, and the reality of what happened that night is finally coming out to the American people, period. I mean, that has been held back by the mainstream media this entire, 11, 12, 13 months now. And my God, the things that Kyle has been put through and his family have been put through with these just constant parroting of lies, that's all proven to be false now. So they're staying upbeat.
And I want to reiterate it. It's freekyleusa.org. We just made a contribution. I encourage everyone else to do that.
Okay.
So let me ask you a couple questions that I'm curious. Number one, and as far as you're allowed to answer, you could just say you can't talk about this. What was the thought process to put Kyle on the stand? Because that surprised me, because that's an unusual move.
It surprised a lot of people. He has a story to tell, and he wants to tell that story. and he should tell that story. The fact of the matter is, all the facts sit in Kyle's corner, period. So the truth is pure. And so Kyle getting up there and sharing his story, that's the truth. That is the reality. He was threatened. His life was in danger. He felt like he was going to lose his life. He was ambushed, period. And then he was chased by a maniac with a shirt around his face. And then he was chased down by a violent, angry mob, and he was attacked on the ground. That boy did performed perfectly in terms of he didn't spray. He addressed the threats that he had in front of him, and he used the lowest degree of force to stop that threat from killing or hurting him, period. Full stop.
And self-defense is a human right. That's a great answer. I was shocked when I saw Kyle take the stand. It's unusual, but I think that it actually probably benefited Kyle and the defense, because you're right, that there really isn't kind of a fact and circumstance gray area. And I think it humanized Kyle. With that being said, the prosecution was so out of line yesterday and was admonished by the judge for how they acted. Okay, so my second question is this. Is there any movement at all to try and prosecute the people that are tampering and intimidating the jury? And for whatever it's worth, I just want to make sure you as the spokesperson and the family are aware that this jury is being threatened by filming, by the identification of them, which could impact Kyle's future. Is there some sort of concern to try to, you know, make sure that there's no jury tampering or intimidation? We have George Floyd's nephew saying we know the identity of these people and we're going to make sure we get the ruling we want. How is this even tolerated?
I don't know how it's tolerated. The judge will not accept this kind of behavior. The fact that that individual said that on video is not something that shocked us. We knew weeks ago that this was going to be transpiring, and the authorities were properly notified, including the police officers and everybody in the Kenosha courthouse. So this absolutely is not a surprise, and measures were taken to mitigate the effects of that.
Well, yeah, I hope so. But there's going to be members of the jury that don't want to see their house burned down. They don't want to see their kids be chased in the streets. You have verbal threats. I'm just saying that this is now Kyle's future, his life, that could be impacted by some criminals that want to impact the jury. And obviously, I hope the jury, you know, rules courageously here. But if they're now being threatened by external forces, this is a sacrosanct aspect of the American constitutional order that we're just supposed to sit idly by when George Floyd's nephew says, yeah, we know their identities. Like, no, that's actually not how this works.
No, absolutely not. Absolutely not. The important part right now for us to focus on is getting Kyle through the trial. We are staying in contact with the authorities and they are paying attention to this. So I would expect that when this is done and as we get closer to the end of the trial, that the judge is going to make some very specific rules as to regarding who's going to be around after that point. So it's absolutely abhorrent. It's insane that this is accepted behavior, that somebody can do this on social media and nobody really points a finger at them, right? Outside of you and a whole bunch of people on social media. But where are the authorities making statements and protecting the jury? That's what you're getting at, right?
That's right. And so I want to get to one more question here as we kind of conclude, this couple more questions. So where is, you know, the direct, how much longer on the trial do we have, I suppose? What else does the prosecution possibly have? This is such a flimsy and weak case as it is. What else remains?
I'm just waiting for the prosecution to come up with another version of events, because this is probably the third or fourth different version that they decided to bring up in court and not give to the defense team, right? The prosecutor stated on record sitting in the court during the last hearing before trial that he sees that young Rittenhouse actually confronted Rosenbaum. Well, he had the same FBI video that he gave to us. He's actually had it for 5 months. Now, that's not at all what that video shows, but he still came into court and he still made that statement. Now he's trying to say that, I guess that Kyle like raised his gun because of another drone video, which that doesn't show that either. So he's just making up these different variations of the story, probably just to see what sticks. So we expect this to get wrapped up most likely by tomorrow afternoon. And then we'll figure out when the verdict's going to come in, possibly Monday.
Well, yeah. And I mean, I just want to reiterate this, though, that the prosecution has the power of the state.
Right.
There's a moral obligation that they are clear and they are focused in how they want to put you in jail and destroy your life. They're not allowed to spray and pray. You're not allowed to go ready, aim, fire. This is not the way this works, okay? And this is more than Kyle Rittenhouse. This is more than this. This is, does the prosecution have an opportunity to just put you up and say, hey, by the way, video games, how does that feel? You know, by the way, did you ever have any, I mean, the whole thing is so disgusting. And anyone that appreciates the constitutional order, this thing should have been thrown out immediately. And I do want to compliment the judge because I think he's been one of the few surprises in this whole case. You don't have to say anything, obviously, but that's me talking.
It took an 18-year-old kid to tell the prosecutor in this case that video games are not real life.
Well, and this is where we're at.
I had to correct it. Yeah, that's, come on. Are you serious?
So I just want to make sure everyone knows the website, freekyleusa.org, freekyleusa.org. Chip in what you can. The family's going into debt to defend themselves against the government that has decided to try to destroy his life because he defended himself. Because the police and the National Guard were not called. And so this is something you got to step up and help them out. So thank you for coming on. We'll have you back on soon. Hey, everybody. Lately, I've been sounding the alarm about why we all need to be well prepared in case the worst happens anytime soon. No, I'm not an alarmist. I'm a realist. Charlie Kirk here. I've been personally preparing myself and my family. And I hope you have too. Because the way things are going, it's not looking good. And none of us should ever gamble with our family's well-being. That's why I strongly endorse My Patriot Supply as the go-to source for your family's emergency preparedness products. You'll find more than just emergency food. MyPatriotSupply.com carries about everything you'll need for the challenging times ahead. Plus, your order will be shipped quickly, much faster than the competition can. So go to MyPatriotSupply.com and get what you need quickly. They have food in stock, ready to ship, and unmarked boxes for your privacy. Don't wait and suffer the pain of regret. Things are falling apart, everybody, and you need to make sure you could feed your family if the worst occurs. I'm a prepper, and you need to prepare too. MyPatriotSupply.com today. That's MyPatriotSupply.com. But I want to stay focused on this because it is the number one news story for good reason. And it's good. By the way, this is more it's important to understand trends, right? So similarly to the O.J. Simpson trial, which was hyper-racialized for no reason, the Kyle Rittenhouse trial is not just about Kyle. I mean, we could go through all the specifics there, but it's about the rule of law. It's about due process. It's about the consent of the governed, about the idea of an independent judiciary. And if we lose that, then the state is just able to lock you up for any reason that they choose, and we are heading in that direction. And we're long past the era, everybody, of equal application of the law. We have passed that and collected $100. Well, how much do you collect in Monopoly? $100? Is that right? $200? You connect two. It's got to be the inflation Monopoly. When I grew up, it was 50. I'm kidding. I have a whole speech on Monopoly. Did I ever give that speech on my whole thesis on Monopoly? I don't like it. I don't like it because there's not, you have to win by bankrupting your opponent. That's not like, life is not that way. It's not. You don't win by bankrupting your competition. So inherent in Monopoly is this idea that there's only a winner and a loser by extracting resources from people they're up against. It's totally unrealistic and it creates really bad people. I really believe that. Not to mention, Monopoly money, I think, plays into the deterioration of the American currency. Connor says, I thoroughly enjoy Monopoly, frankly. No. See, markets are that people benefit when you both get richer. No, I win when they get bankrupt. It's insane. Connor says it's very Randian. I think, you know what? I actually think it creates, socialist and private property confiscators. And then the thing in Monopoly is, I need a bailout. No, you don't. You manage your money terribly. You don't get some sort of bailout. Not a fan. What were we talking about? Oh, yeah, the Rittenhouse thing. So Kyle Rittenhouse is an that's a good idea. Let's play Cut 101. Tucker's epic eulogy for the slain pedophile, Joseph Rosenbaum. He died as he lived, trying to touch an unwilling minor. Play Cut 101.
Once he got to the riot, Rosenbaum saw Kyle Rittenhouse and immediately threatened to kill him. Rosenbaum then chased Rittenhouse and tried to pull the gun from his hands. When he did that, Kyle Rittenhouse shot him. So Joseph Rosenbaum died as he had lived, trying to touch an unwilling minor.
And what does Joy Reid say? Cut 83, she's memorializing a child rapist who was shot while chasing a minor. Cut 83.
Let me just remind people of the names of the victims. Joseph Rosenbaum, who was 36 years old. Anthony Huber, who was 26. Gage Grosskreutz, who's only 27 years old, was injured. These are the victims. These are the people that people ought to remember are the people who were hurt here, not the person who was crying on the stand today.
Yeah, say their names, Joy Reid. Say those child rapist names. We will may their memory be a blessing, right, Joy? What's happening in the Kyle Rittenhouse drama is a very simple question. Are we now going to abandon the rule of law and the courts as we know it, regardless of political affiliation, facts, circumstances, due process, representation, cross-examination of witnesses, or are we now going to have a prosecution that is able just to spray and pray, able to ready, fire, aim? You know what? We're just going to keep you on trial and keep making stuff up. Did you play Call of Duty when you were 14? That means you might have violent tendencies. Why did you run away from the fire? Because it was a fire. The prosecution is now in a position where they are able to entrap you. They're able to suffocate you. They are able to metaphorically, legally waterboard you to try to destroy your life and put you in prison to satisfy some sort of tribal identity politics aim. Thanks so much for listening, everybody. Email us your thoughts, freedom@charliekirk.com. And if you want to support our show, it's charliekirk.com/support. We will see all of you in Phoenix, December 18, 19, 2021, tpusa.com/AMFEST. God bless you guys. Speak to you soon.
For more on many of these stories and news you can trust, go to charliekirk.com.